Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. How you doing, Scott, Kimmy, Melissa, and 313, and Adrian, and everybody else that's in the switchboard? We've got a lot of people in the switchboard. If you want to get on, push one on your keypad. I'll get you on. Scott, Jimmy, Melissa, take it away. Adrian.
Good evening.
Hello. Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
How's everybody doing?
Hanging in.
Doing good. Doing good here, just watching the stuff unfold. Me and Adrian. I don't see how they're getting away with half the crap like I put on there with that one media person putting that post up, wondering why we're, you know, upset at them. I said, because you only play one side of the story. I mean, how the hell are you going to let these people police themselves when they've been doing that for how long? And they ain't done a very good job.
Well, my computer's in the other room right now, so I'm not going to go in there and disturb James. But that one post that I think you're talking about, that one, talking about one member, one vote.
Sorry, he says he wants us to be humble and, you know, and show all this compassion and that they're going to work this out. I'm like, who are you trying to bolt at here?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, people. If you don't see and smell the shit now, man, I hate to see what you're sleeping in.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really sad. Manipulation. And it's just like everything else. All these con games people are trying to run and scams, they need to stop this bullshit. It's just plain and simple. It needs
Amen.
To stop. We are the owners of the UAW, and I'm not talking about just auto workers. Aerospace and agriculture, we need to really get them involved. We seem like we're trying to push them away like it's just us. It is not. It is not just us. And the fact I can't wrap my head around this. Why retirees, or why people think that retirees don't have a vote? Retirees are lifetime members. They outnumber, when you're talking auto workers and anything else, they outnumber their workers. It's just all the foolishness that's going on.
989, you are on next. Now, right now.
Greetings, you rabble rousers.
How you
Greetings.
Doing?
I missed your first minute or so there, but I was wondering, now that the UAW members are going to be able to decide where they want the same old thing or want to elect their leaders, is the government going to conduct an election? Are they going to do anything to prevent collusion between the union and management to keep things the same? Has anybody heard?
Well, how are you going to hold an election when you can't even have a meeting at the union hall because of the coronavirus? My question.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. You know, I ran an election where we weren't allowed to campaign, and I just went to the hall to vote, and I thought I was going to end up getting in a fisticuff with one of the union leaders there who was accusing me of being there to campaign and was really pissed at me. So, I mean, in order for the members to have their vote or voice count, we got to make sure the votes are counted correctly and that people have the ability to go out and campaign and, you know, for one man, one vote. Has anybody heard anything about the details?
No, I mean, this was just decided, so you're not going to get details that quick.
Okay.
No.
Okay,
yeah.
I mean, think about how slow they are about everything else.
Yeah.
And our president said that he has to educate. He has to roll out an educational something for the membership. on how to do this one member, one vote.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, So, anyway.
Is that what you guys were talking about at the very first? Because I missed
the
first minute. Is that what you guys were talking about right off the bat? I missed the first minute or two.
Kind of talking about how we were looking at different posts, and people don't realize that the retirees actually outnumber all active workers.
Oh, yeah.
And the retirees also have a vote because they're lifetime members.
Yeah. Well, they don't want us to vote.
Yeah, and whether they volunteer to pay the dues or not, they're lifetime members.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can't stop them from voting.
Yeah. Well, they never tell you when you retire that you can vote. They don't want you to know that.
You can vote on the president, vice president.
I know of four cases at our hall and challenges where people had to come in and set up to start paying their dues so they could vote. And then as soon as they voted, they went back upstairs and signed a paper saying they didn't want to pay dues. That way they didn't pay dues, but they had already voted. I didn't think that was right. You could come in and do that, vote, and then unvote, you know. I mean, either you're going to pay goddamn dues. I'm paying. I don't know about you. I'm getting charged $3 a month.
Yeah.
That's voluntary.
Well, one of the problems we have is most people who retired in the last 10 years despise the UAW. Other than the ones that rode the gravy train, your average member that retired, a lot of them won't even buy a General Motors vehicle now. They're just so pissed at the way they were treated and how they were ignored as they gave away the farm. And, you know, that's one thing. You know, before Dave Yutaw died, he was trying to organize retirees around the country. And we could be a very powerful voting bloc. And, you know, just like I know I'm a thorn in the flesh to them, that I won't go away and keep running in elections.
Right.
And one of the other things that I did speak on also was it's not just auto workers. And so
sure.
We have to stop thinking in terms of just auto workers.
Yeah.
Because the United Auto Workers, Aerospace, and Agriculture.
Right.
That's who owns
right.
that union.
Yeah. United Latino workers and professors and all that, you know.
Well, as far as their...
One at
right
a time.
Now,
one at a time.
Okay,
Jimmy, can you repeat that?
When you're saying agriculture workers, I believe right now, as far as active workers in the workforce in the UAW, they might have bigger numbers than the auto companies right now as ag, because they grabbed a hold of all those small riding lawnmowers and shit like that. And
yeah, John Deere.
That side of the house now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're a real minority.
The auto workers union, our UAW, isolated the agricultural department. They've isolated them away from us.
Yes.
And if you look at their contracts, they're terrible. Understand, Dennis Williams grandfathered the tier system. At John Deere and Case, New Holland, you know, and you look at what happened to them and their VEBA, Caterpillar, you know, it's
yes,
it's well, insane.
The thing that we have to get across to some of these other people have been unionized, like the casino workers and.
Teachers,
state workers, and whatever. If they can force a tier system on us, they can do it on them.
Absolutely.
They can go backwards too.
That's right.
That's true.
So what is I got my crystal ball's up is running right now. It's cracked. It's cracked, but it's running. So let me tell you what I can see from my crystal ball. Talk about one member, one vote.
Mm-hmm.
they're going to give them time to organize this. And as I said, the president's going to educate the membership about this. What they're going to do is they're going to paint the scenario of the expense that it's going to cost to do one member, one vote, like the Teamsters, of the trouble that it's going to cause, because people aren't going to know other people from other regions and what have you, and so on and so forth. And what they're going to do is they're going to take this time to at every local and at every region, they're going to make sure that they manipulate the system. So they're going to prove that one member, one vote is not a good thing for the members. Okay? That's my crystal ball starting to go on the fritz again, but that's all I can see for right now.
Well, that's always been their position. That, you know, the thing is that the leader's going to have to take time away from their jobs to actually go out and campaign. And, yes, it's going to cost some money and blah, blah, blah. They're always good at putting the spin on. My question is, I guess I'm just wondering what we can do as rabble-rousers to get our opinion across there. That, I mean, many of us have been to conventions, and we've seen what a joke it is to have an election at a convention where, you know, you don't have any opposition candidates, and the people there are either so bought off or quaking in their boots that they wouldn't dare go to the microphone and say they're voting for the alternative candidate. I mean, it's crap.
I believe Scott's spot on. I think Rory Gamble pretty much said it in a nutshell. He believes the delegate system still works, and he's going to continue that way.
Yeah.
If absolutely.
It's all possible, I believe that's the way he's going to try and push the shit. And that's the only way this is going to come back any better, in my humble opinion, and it's all it is we need to somehow eliminate the appointment system and go back to what our Constitution says. They have the right to appoint somebody, but once we call for an election, they have 30 damn days to have that election. Rory, get the hell out of my house. I want an election now. You were appointed, chump.
Right.
That's the way I feel.
And on top of that, let's understand something. Anybody's listening here, I'm going to tell you, and I can say this is from my local. I can't speak for the locals, but from my local, the delegates that was sent not only voted for all the raises, you voted for people who are going to prison. Okay?
Yeah.
You voted for people who are going to prison. For what? Stealing from the members. You people who listen to this show need to understand, you need to vote your delegates out. 75% of them were bad apples. Understand?
Yep.
They were given the direction from Solidarity House to run all elected people because they didn't want any opposition on this last constitutional convention before. They wanted it all online.
Well, the thing is, too, every one of the criminals was a member of the same caucus. You know, that's a point we need to get across the membership, that the caucus couldn't clean its own self. We had to have the feds do it.
Right.
And it's
now,
just a corrupt caucus has been running the UAW for 50 years.
There'll be a 7-year oversight, if I remember what the article said. But it doesn't force the UAW to come out now, enforce one member, one vote. It doesn't do anything to change the convention and how that's set up. It's interesting because what's going to happen is probably a lot of the same delegates are going to go because people aren't going to vote new delegates in, and it's going to end up staying the same way it is right now. That's my opinion.
I agree.
Well, that's the way it looks.
Yeah.
The court documents doesn't read that way. They have to have that one member, one vote.
Yeah, they have to. They said that they're going to give them the opportunity to to vote on that if we want to go to one member, one vote, if I remember right.
And or with their delegates there, that'll get turned down.
Or did they actually force them and tell them you have to have a one member, one vote?
Let me look at this document again. I know it's somewhere here, not far off. So I'm going to put myself on mute. You all continue to talk.
Okay.
If they're going to have federal oversight, that means that they could probably change some of those decisions.
It's really not federal oversight. It's the damn company that Roy Gamble to oversee them. So it's a crook overseeing a crook, in my humble opinion,
yeah.
Is it not?
Yeah.
And you're talking about the federal government, who, by the way, missed all the offshore accounts that General Motors private investigators found, and we heard nothing about that.
Yeah,
you know, come on.
Well,
you know,
aren't they gonna have a federal judge oversee it?
No, that's not mandated.
Yeah.
That right now. What do you call it? Payment back to the membership isn't even in there from what I can see.
Well, if they're going to have oversight, that means we got 7 years to communicate with the feds of what our concerns are. Because, you know,
right.
the thing is, even if we have one man, one vote, if they can set up elections where you can't campaign, where management boots opposition candidates off the property, that's, you know, not much is going to change. I mean, the feds need to hear that they held elections where neither the union nor management allowed campaigning. I mean, that's a bunch of crap.
What do you think about this? They wait 3-4 years. I don't know if you got the same crystal ball I'm looking at or I think I'm looking at. Let's word it that way, that I think I'm looking at. But I'm saying in 5 years, the UAW auto parts manufacturing employee base is going to drop down to about an eighth of what it is now. They already know that shit. They're out trying to get other members to pay for that loss that they're going to lose from auto jobs. And even look at what they're doing in Oshawa, Scott. My God, now they're telling them half of that workforce has got to be temp. At first, they had to be all tier two. Now half of it's got to be temp, or you don't get allocated work, folks. Now, there's no health care over there because that was a national plan. We had to compete against that, folks. Remember? We did that for years. Now you're going to a tier system. They keep using these tiers to keep us fighting. We need to screw the tiers. Let's all come together. Let's go down and take our house back. That is our house. Remember, like the lady said, auto, agricultural, and aerospace. I know healthcare, doctors, and colleges are there now, but they're not founded.
This UAW membership vote on direct elections, it has to do with the monitor. Within 6 months after appointment of the monitor, the UAW shall hold a secret ballot vote or referendum by all UAW members concerning the method and procedures for the election of the members of the IEB. Specifically, the UAW membership shall vote whether to keep the current method for electing members to the IEB or instead the method should be changed to a direct election, sometimes referred to as one member, one vote, by which each UAW member shall directly elect the IEB.
So did I miss something, that they're going to give them the option to keep it the way it is or go to one member, one vote, correct?
That's correct.
And I bet we're going to hear them push real hard just to keep it the way it is.
That's what the educational part is about.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think people have already been educated to what that system brings. They got to open their eyes that the delegate system has brought corruption and absolutely no accountability.
Right.
Adrian, did you say just the access workers?
Excuse me?
Did you just say just the active workers can vote?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I never said that word.
No, I'm wondering if the retirees can vote on that, too.
They are members in good standing.
Well,
every retiree has lifetime membership, with the exception of if they were kicked out. Which that could be done.
Well, yeah, that means we don't have to worry about Gary Jones voting.
That's correct.
Well, where are the people located that have done the investigation and doing the oversight? Are they in Detroit?
Yeah.
Are they okay?
Imagine that.
Well, the thing
and
is,
that's why I asked about a federal judge, because if that federal judge is going to be oversighting that whole situation, wow. That's why I'm wondering
Judge
if it's going to be the FBI. Well, I'm just worried about that.
Judge Borman is the federal judge.
Any judge in Detroit, I'm sorry, is not good for us in Detroit.
Well,
how
about the incoming Biden administration? Are they going to be so friendly to the UAW hierarchy that they try to put the stop
yes.
any of this? That's one of my concerns.
I think there's going to be some problems. I think there could be some problems. I agree with that thought, Paul. I do. And when I looked at this story on the Detroit News about this, they talk about the deal. Okay, they said they had at least two members of the UAW governing board have been linked to the ongoing investigation, including President Roy Gamble and Vice President Cindy Estrada.
Yeah.
But announcing the deal, hang on, announcing the deal on Monday, after spending the past year investigating the ties between Gamble and one of the UAW's highest paid contractors, Matthew Schneider said Gamble is not a target of the ongoing investigation. Didn't say Cindy wasn't, said that Roy wasn't.
That's correct.
And he said that we are not investigating Mr. Gamble, and I don't have any reason to investigate Mr. Gamble. So the criminal investigation of the individual continues, but the deal concludes the federal government investigation of the UAW.
Well,
so
you mean the UAW as an organization?
Right, but they said the criminal investigation of individuals continues, which would, if I'm reading this right, Cindy is still under investigation, Rory is not, but the UAW as an incorporated body is no longer under investigation.
Well, I think the problem the feds have really is the union is so corrupt. If they removed everybody who wasn't corrupt, they wouldn't have anybody lead the union other maybe the alternate committee man somewhere. You know, it's a real mess. I think they've had to just overlook a lot of stuff. It's just like the Nuremberg war trials after World War II, you know, there were so many, and basically the defense they used was they were just following orders, and that's what most of the UAW people do. They never speak up. If they think something's wrong, they just shut up because it's not good for their career to open their mouth.
Right.
My concern lies with the monitor and the, what is this other person called? But they get to, Rory gets to submit three names to the court. And I don't know what the process is on acceptance.
Yeah.
I'm not finished reading through everything because I wanted to take a break from this crap. I'm going to be careful on my wording here.
Sure.
I'm getting real tired. Like I say, it's just a lot of it is just foolishness and a lot of crap to keep the membership all divided and all upset and going at each other's throats. I'm just tired. Adjudications officer.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the other one that they have to do. Now, and I'm sorry to try to cut into this, but there are some other things, like this member advisory committee on ethics. So now they're going to set up a member advisory committee on ethics. And I'm going to recommend to the membership to flood them with your resumes. They say that the only criteria or prerequisite to being selected to serve on the advisory committee is that A, be a current UAW member, B, have some experience servicing or serving UAW membership. For example, current or former constitutional convention delegate, current or former elected local union leader, current or former member of a local union standing committee.
You know, my big concern is, so they have a vote to determine what system we want. Who's going to count the votes? Like, I know I tried to organize a plant when I was young. It was 1976. It was a small motorhome plant in the Thumb, and we ended up with a tie vote, 59-4 and 59 against, so we didn't get the union, but it was the Department of Labor that conducted the election. I mean, are they going to let the UAW, the corrupt UAW leadership, conduct the election to decide what we're going to want? The same UAW that won't allow challenges for contract votes?
Can't answer that.
Yeah.
Good question.
Because, like I said, I haven't read through the whole court filing.
Well, that's something where we nearly need to give our input, because it's just like Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter how the votes are cast, all that matters is who counts the votes.
That's exactly how it goes.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't trust any bought off local union leadership to hold a fair election to determine how their local is going to vote on that. I mean, it's not good for your career if your local doesn't vote the way the international wants it to vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know I would consider trustworthy. I mean, I know some good people, but I know I've been to four conventions, so I know how people vote when the pressure's on, regardless of what they say they believe.
I understand what you're saying, but remember, I came from a local that shoved the international, what was it, the 93 agreement, right up the international's ass.
Yeah,
and look what they did to Local 235. 5 months later, they put us on an auction block and sold us. That's how they react to you. That's why we got to have one number, one vote instead of this appointed fuck-ass system.
Yeah. Well, that's why we need to make sure we got some kind of a fair vote count if they allow the membership to decide the system they want.
Need some outside company to come.
Yeah.
That would take the votes and count the votes.
And allow challengers there.
Exactly. A CPA.
A CPA.
Yes. Yes.
CPAs to do this.
It and also, not the CPA firms that they've been using.
Yeah. And also, the people that want one man, one vote should be able to campaign for it, not just the management or whatever allows our leadership to propagandize the membership on the great benefits of the system we have right now. I mean, these people are slick talkers. I mean,
if the members cannot campaign on company property, nor shall the elected appointed people in the units. No campaigning.
Yeah.
I understand that they last election, Adrian, but in my Paul's local, that did not happen.
I understand that. I know for a fact. I ran for a position at my local, and I watched them campaign outside the local, and they weren't supposed to. Could I have brought them up on some type of charges? Yes, I could have. But I didn't care.
Yeah.
They got in there who they wanted. Now, here's the problem. Don't think I ain't watching you. Okay?
Yeah.
So, if you want to be the yes people for them, fine. But I'm watching you.
Well,
so, I mean, I did as I was supposed to. I didn't campaign.
Yeah. Well, there's good money in being a yes person.
Money ain't good money.
Yeah.
All money ain't good money. Just because you think that you're getting it,
yeah,
it can go right away from you just as fast as you put it in your hand.
That's it. There's a verse in the book of Proverbs that says ill begotten gains are like gravel in your mouth.
There you go.
You know?
Well,
it's a little painful to have to kiss rear for a 30-year career.
No.
Swallow your dignity and your conscience.
I don't know. I'd have to ask Dennis Williams how it tastes with a how his mouth feels like or tastes like with a mouthful of stones, because I think he's still going to smile and spit a few out, because, you know, he still has millions of dollars in offshore account that we're not hearing about.
Yeah.
That when he gets done with his sentence, I can spit out a mouthful of rocks, but I can still skip my way to the bank, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, when the IRS comes after you, they come after you. You don't know who's going to be watching him, and wanted to know how on his salary or pension he can afford the things he's doing, you know. That's how they got Al Capone. They couldn't get him anything else. It was the IRS that got him. And, you know, a lot of these people die before they get to enjoy that.
Yep. Yep. You're right.
Maybe the FBI didn't seize all that money and we just don't know it.
That's it.
Well, that's true, too. We're not privy to everything.
I'm in practice when they seize money in a search and seizure like at Gary Jones's. They confiscate that, and it goes toward cost.
Yeah. Well, it's not only that. You know, most of us love our kids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think it's like to have to face your sons and daughters when they know you were just a con man and a criminal and a person with absolutely no integrity? How do you think that affects the family dynamics?
Well,
in
some families, it don't affect them at all.
Yeah, you're Mike Grimes, not one bit.
You know, there are so many con people, and they bring their children up to be con people.
That's
so
true.
It won't affect them, you know, a lot of them, and then there are some that it will.
And you know what happens in a lot of those cases?
What?
It's not the con man that really gets it, it's their kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they have to live with the fact their kids are doing a life sentence because they followed in their footsteps.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, there's, you know, the Bible's unmistakable. Whatsoever man soweth also shall he reap.
Yes.
Hear, hear.
Mm-hmm.
The secular world would call that karma. You know,
yep.
That worm.
Yep.
That worm turns. That worm turns and it has teeth on the other end.
So, yes.
So there's always something that gets you in the end.
Yeah.
Well, the late,
they're
the
starting to feel that, right? Because they didn't think that they would ever get caught at what they were doing. Life was just grand for them.
Sure. And they looked at people like us like we were a bunch of fools because we had
right?
integrity.
Looking
they
down
were,
in those at us like, you know, you little peons, you know, keep paying us. And
yep.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go up on your dues another half hour.
Yep.
We're going to do this.
Yep.
Or like Norwood's attorney, I'm entitled to it. God damn, everybody else, man. I get mine.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Where's
wait
my
a minute.
Pork chop?
We're gonna talk to the constitutional delegates, and y'all are going to give us a 30% raise in our income.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an example of why the system's a failure. And that's what we need to get across to our members. They want this kind of system to continue.
Yes, they do.
I mean,
yep.
I can say I enjoyed the four conventions I went to. I ate like a hog. The food was great. I do like good food. But they never bought my vote.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't break bread with people that I feel that are criminals.
Well, I didn't sit with them.
And,
but
and
I,
so... I didn't eat anything from them.
Yeah.
A lot of the problem with this, we want to talk about this 31% raise that they got.
Yeah.
It's like, how can anyone be so foolish to vote someone a 31% raise and you're not getting 5%?
Yeah.
You're yourself not getting a 5% raise, but you will vote for somebody else to get 31%?
Yeah, but
you already get 2 pensions.
Look at who most of those people were that voted, that went as delegates, though. They were people, there wasn't a lot of rank and file people like me or you. It was a bunch of union presidents and shop committee men and their handpicked people. I mean, they didn't care because they were riding the gravy train themselves.
Right.
I mean, how many shop committeemen get paid 80-some hours a week? You know, they're riding the gravy train.
Let me interrupt for a second, folks. We have about 42 people in the switchboard. If you'd like to join the conversation, push 1 on your keypad and join on in. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, Scott, they voted them raises in, and like you're right, they were presidents, vice presidents, and they were all officers or inside the plan elected, because that's pretty much all that made it.
Yeah.
But what they were doing is they're saying, well, if we give it to them now, look, we're going to be the next ones going there, so we're going to get ours, just like Norwood's thinking. We're going to get ours. I mean, they're in mind. This is why you need to go vote. And we got to get one member, one vote. Or I don't understand who the FBI's. I mean, who's on their knee pads in front of them? Because something happened here. I mean, they already seen what happened with the Teamsters. They know in the end we got to have one member, one vote. And you ain't gonna smoke anybody's crack, Rory, by saying it's too costly and we can't have an election in our little UAW if we can all vote for a president of the United States. So. Don't go that route either, Derek Porkchop.
Well, if we don't have the money for fair elections, where's the money been going? But, you know, most of those people that go to the convention are knocking down $150,000 a year themselves. They don't care what the union president.
Turned out the international staff was making more money than your president for quite a few years. That's what started all this shit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, He can't really claim that their money is not there because what? We changed the name of the strike fund to strike and defense. So this is a defense. Take some money off of it.
Yep.
See, they forget the things that they do. Now, you changed it to the strike and defense fund in, what, 2014 convention?
Yep.
Because they had illegally been taking money from the strike fund to go after all the other transplants.
Right.
Yeah.
And so somebody gave them a heads up.
Yeah.
So they changed it to read strike and defense. And so they could keep taking money off of the strike fund to go after the transplants. Well, take that damn money off of the strike fund to have fair elections.
Yeah.
You could pay for the elections. And it'll cost you less than what it cost you going out trying to get somebody to join the UAW.
Well, how about, has anyone tabulated how much the UAW spent to defend corrupt officials? Because it'd be, you could pay for a lot of elections with that money.
Well, you're right about that.
Well, Dennis Williams topped out at $320,000 by himself.
Right.
Norwood was almost
over. They said
right.
Ashton was breaking $400,000. Gary Jones and the asshole from New York will never know because they left the union.
Well, we have to know how much the policy paid for.
Right, right.
You know,
the
how much was
policy.
Their policies. And
right.
Then after you know how much the policy was, then that anything over that, that's the amount of money that we are concerned about.
Right. Adrian, I bet you they don't review that policy with us.
Yeah, it's... This is a sticky wicket. I mean, they have really screwed the pooch on all of this.
Adrian, can we go back to something you talked about? Can we go back to something Adrian brought up?
Yes, go ahead.
She talked about they're getting to the point where there's more retirees than active union members. All right, so do we know the numbers on how many post-2007 active members? So basically those that are non-pension or tier two, whatever you want to call us, compared to those that are pre-2007.
Wow.
Don't know a number on that. Matter of fact, don't even know the total on the current total on the retirees. But I will just go out on a limb and tell you that it's at least a million. I'll say that.
Adrian, Dick Gaines pitch about that because back then they called them tier two, remember? He goes, there's no list where I can show in from the UAW how many tier two there actually is. He goes, Ford will list them here, GM will list them here, Chrysler will list them. But he goes, they never come to a total, so I never know where they're at. And now they got full-time temp, part-time temp, and lifetime temp. God damn. I mean, they can hide a lot of shit in that.
Yeah, they can.
Speaking of temps real quick, you guys will like this one. At my facility, they're taking some of the full-time temps and they're making them full or part-time temps till after the first of the year.
They're taking full-time temps and making
correct.
Them part-time temps?
That's correct. You know what that does, right?
It breaks their seniority.
You're right.
Exactly. Breaks their time per the contract.
Wow.
Well, and then in, I know that in Buffalo that there were some temps that were supposed to flip, or some tiers that were supposed to flip to full-time next month, and they have been indefinitely laid off as of last Friday.
And they hired temps Monday.
Well.
Wow.
And I don't know how to go about this, right? I wish, oh, Lord, I wish my sister would come to me in my sleep or something. Because I remember many years ago, you remember how you make 90 days and you would be full-time in 90 days?
Yep.
And the companies would lay people off when they got 88 days, 89 days.
Right.
Yep. Amen. Or fire you.
And then they would let you come back and start all over.
Yep.
At large.
Well, I know that in the state of Michigan, and you know, because I can't speak of other states, they found that to be illegal.
Adrian,
so the
I was lunchtime twice on 89 days, and the third time I outdoxed my general foreman at 88 days. He found me with 3 brochures. My job, a Chevy truck, a Ford truck, and a Chrysler truck, and he asked me why the other two were there. I said, well, if I get fired, I'm going to have to get a Chrysler because that's where my uncle works. And I said,
uh-huh.
And it depends if it doesn't get my financing, I got to go with Ford because they'll give me free financing. I got my 90 days.
Well, something in the state, I know they did something, and they could no longer work you up to 88, 89 days and then terminate you, lay you off, whatever. They can no longer do that. This is how they came up with the 89-day or contracts. Yeah, about. And she knew all of this because she had explained it to me long ago. And that's before I even went into the plant to work. She had explained how that actually came about and how they couldn't do this.
Hmm.
I have a question for you guys. I'm not real familiar with the contracts, but my understanding that these tiers only work for the unskilled workforce, that they haven't screwed it up for skilled trades. Is that true? I mean, you don't have multiple tiers of pay for skilled trades, do they?
I'm starting to hear that they got some kind of tier system in the trades.
Yeah.
They started.
I don't know exactly what it is, but they do have some kind of tier system in there going.
There's a pay progression for the trades.
No, well,
a lot of outsourced this year, Scott. Almost all our PM work now is being done by an outside company, which is now UAW represented. Let me tell you that, folks.
Well, they started that before I retired. But what I'm talking about, they don't have skilled tradesmen that have a permanently reduced pay scale, do they?
Not that I'm aware of.
That's what
yeah.
I mean. See, that's how they pulled all this crap off, because tradesmen stick together. Much more than production do. And they don't seem, a lot of them don't really seem to care what's going on with production, because they don't see it as affecting them.
They ought to.
Well, a
and
lot of
things.
And
it does affect them.
It does, because when they have kids that they want to get hired into the plant, not everybody can be on trades. So they're dooming their kids to work for 15 or 16 bucks an hour. But that's how GM pulled all this stuff off. They basically pitted trades against production. And production.
Yeah, they did that for years.
Production people don't stick together. And they don't have as many tools to use management as skilled trades do.
Yeah, well, trades really don't have as many tools as they used to have. And
no, they don't.
When they started deleting some of their classifications,
sure,
and fusing classifications together,
yep,
oh, yeah, they got a new, they started finding out that they weren't as the prima donnas as they thought they were.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Okay?
I agree with that.
A lot of them ended up on the street.
Yep.
And those that started in production could go back to production.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I
realize that. I'm just saying, trades hasn't been affected in the same ways as production has. You know, if you're a tradesman and you're sitting there waiting for something to break down to fix it, it doesn't matter you so much that they've cut the brakes down the way they have. That basically affects production people. You know, when I hired into the metal center, you had a half-hour first break, a 20-minute paid lunch, and a 16-minute break. You know, at the end, you had 66 minutes of break, and if you had a heavy lifting job, a lot of those jobs you worked hour on, half-hour off. Well, they've done away with all that. You know, they're just pounding production people right into the ground.
Well, it depends on what production people you're talking about, because I worked on a free effort job.
On a what?
Free effort, which meant that, yes, I was a job setter. I ran machines.
Yeah.
Okay, as long as the machines were running and I had checked my parts.
Sure.
I had like 35 minutes, 40 minutes every hour that I didn't work.
Sure. But they've tried to eliminate most of that. They just want you working gun to gun.
Well, they tried, but you still can't do that in those jobs.
Well,
they made an effort to get away from every job that's like that. They like to outsource all that work.
Yeah.
Mm.
The preferred jobs are going away. Yeah.
Not in
preferred jobs. A lot of the preferred jobs in the assembly plants are going away. A lot of the build-up jobs are going away. Sequencing jobs are going away. They cut jobs at our local this last week, and then sped the lineup too.
They're
double whammy.
All they want for production is the most miserable jobs.
Right. Now, understand, you guys talk about this. What Adrian talks about at Powertrain, what you're talking about, Paul.
Yeah.
Understand, in the 2007 contract, that language is still alive where it talks about core and non-core employees.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That language is still alive.
Yes,
people
it
forget
is.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically, they let management determine what's core. And they just go along with it.
Exactly. Well, you kind of have to, because if you look at the operating clause, you know, like in the General Motors contract, management has one paragraph and one paragraph only.
Sure.
That paragraph 8. But, you know, Ford has something that's similar to that. Chrysler has something similar to that. That's an operating clause. It's their business to run.
Sure.
How they seem to want to run it is their business and their business alone. But it does say in the national contract, when it comes to the workers and the workforce, that they will be at least professional enough to give the union a heads up when they're going to make cuts. And that's how they give them the end to maybe negotiate some things, usually more appointed jobs.
they have always had that clause from the very beginning, but the thing is, they started interpreting it differently, and the union went along with it. You know, your old-time union, when management stuck to their clause like that and they wanted to put the hurt to people, the union would fight back. It's
right.
Like, okay, if you want to play it this way, here's 1,000 grievances.
Yep.
I mean, that's the way they did it. Or they found ways to organize to work the rule, or, you know,
There was ways they could hurt the company back when the company decided to interpret the contract in such a way that they hurt the people on the floor. The union used their leverage to fight back, and they don't do that anymore. They just let
right.
the company walk on us.
I got to know a gentleman at Janesville, and he would walk the floor on Mondays and Tuesdays and part of Wednesday and Thursday, because you always had Friday and Saturday and Sunday off in Janesville. We worked four 10-hour shifts, Monday through Thursday. And what he'd do on Thursday is he'd go out and he would deliver all of his grievances.
Yep.
And he would, like Dangin's old school thought, if he had a problem with a particular individual from management, he wouldn't write one grievance. He'd write 25.
Yep.
He'd write a whole book. And he's going to make sure you're going to be in here now, you're going to be here tonight, you're going to come back in here tomorrow on your time, and you're going to have to answer to all these grievances.
Yep.
And there's been said in times, this is very creative, there were a couple of particular individuals from management that I heard got three full books of grievances.
Right. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If management wants to stick to their rights, that's fine. The union can make them pay dearly.
Right. I don't know where we're at with that old school of thought anymore, you know. Gee, when's the last time you seen a committee man walking through an area and just stop and get a foreman and write a policy grievance?
Right.
Wow, what's that? Right?
Yeah. Or something to deal with past practice, because they try to do away with past practice.
Absolutely they have. Absolutely they have.
With the exception of when it's in their favor.
Correct. Correct. Just
but,
like,
you know, the union always has tools to fight management. They just don't have the will anymore. It's easier to bargain, appointed jobs to, let management eliminate 100 jobs without any kind of fight, and they give you an appointed job. You know, we've had insourcing language ever since we started this crap. This cooperation, but we never use it. I mean, has the union fought to get insourced in the last 30 years?
You want to go to past practice. We lost that fight in the bankruptcy. They changed the language there. We can only use past practice for the contract we are at present time. So all our other case laws that we won years back, what they did is they took all the union's culture and threw it out the goddamn window.
Exactly.
You can't do that. That's what they're doing with us now with this pandemic. Hell, what better reason to let us be in there work until we die? Then they ain't even got to pay a pension or a health care. And the guy that comes in the door gets one-third the wages, they ain't never got a pension. Man, that's the best of both worlds. Thank you, government.
Yeah. And these people don't even understand they have tools to fight management. They just think that you got to let management walk on you.
Oh, there's three types of grievances, or there used to be. You had your policy grievance, as Scott talked about, where the committee man could just walk out, and if he saw a violation and thought it was a safety issue, he could flat-ass just write the grievance there. He didn't need to put an employee in jeopardy for being hated by a committee man because he signed that grievance.
Right.
That was part of the committee man's liability. Then you had a group grievance because this issue affected the whole damn department or part of. Then you had your individual. These bastards today don't even write a grievance. You got to go to the NRLB and all the other places to start your own shit. I mean, it's just so sad that, and I think you're right in a lot of ways, Paul. I think the people today do not know how to represent.
That's true. That is true.
They've been dummied down. You know, when you look at our contract, a young committee man just thinks it's his job to go out there and shut the employee up and get him back to work and tell him
that. Half of those committee men are just committee men because they don't want to work on the line.
Yeah. I mean, when's the last time that the union seriously fought the speed up? The last time I know was the Buick City strike back in the 90s. Then they got several hundred people fired.
659's history, I believe it was in 1993, Huff wrote a 78, paragraph 78. Yeah, with General Motors, they actually had a paragraph about that. It was called paragraph 78. Along with another thing in the GM contract that Scott talked about, was Appendix L. That was the right to get all the information on the job that was going outside the company, and we could do a buy versus make and try and get the shit back. And he is right. Very rarely does a union ever try and fight that.
No, we don't try to stop outsourcing. I mean, the modern union's job is to make management happy. They don't care what the employee thinks, you know. They just speed up the line any way they want to, and you're just supposed to pick up your pace to keep up with it. People used to fight that.
All my general foremans from 235 were retiring, but before they retired, they would have some machines in the plant completely rebuilt like new, and they would buy them. They called this place Bullard City, somewhere on the west side of Detroit or Metro, and it was all General Foremans in there. And, man, they had a racket. They got allocated all the extra work, man. I mean, millionaires were made by that. And that was a scam shot, but certain people in the unions knew that shit, and they chose to turn a head on it. I tried to fight that, and that was right about the time Wendy was helping with that fight, and they just put our plan up for sale and sold us.
Yeah. The union's got a dirty 30-year history, or 40 years or so. But anyway, it's been a great chat with you guys tonight. I got to get off and got something else to do, but
well, hey, Paul,
keep the good fight.
Hey, Paul, before you leave, let me ask you a question here, real quick. We're probably gonna take a break for next Sunday due to Christmas.
Sure.
Do we want to take a break the following Sunday too? Do 2 weeks, or are we gonna just take 1 week off?
1 week.
I don't know. Whatever you guys want.
One week.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm good with that.
All right.
So it won't be a show next week, but there'll be a show on the 3rd then.
Okay.
All right.
Later.
Hey,
somebody
happy holidays, Paul.
And you. You guys have a great time. Enjoy your holiday and forget about our woes.
Hang on. What's that, Don?
We still got 26 minutes in this show.
We got 26 minutes left in this show?
Yeah, well, do you ever look up the damn show?
I know, but Paul said he was leaving early.
Okay, but I'm just telling people, everybody's saying goodbye like they're leaving. I say we have about 25 minutes now.
Oh,
we were trying to say happy holiday to Paul.
Oh, hell with Paul.
Okay, but the point of my original question, was with everything switching from old previous what do they call them, legacy employees to post 2007. How is this going to work out? I thought that the post-2007 were flipping the bill for the retirees, or is that not true?
I'm not quite understanding.
For medical.
Okay, so post-2007.
For the VEBA. Are we funding the VEBA?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm not. So at what point is, how far is, are those people going to say, you know what, screw this. If we're not getting anything out of it, why are we going to keep paying the bill?
And they don't put the whole bill.
You're putting an allocation into it, but I don't know what the hell the point was of ever doing that. I'll let Scott take over on that because he has a lot more knowledge on that.
All right, so we lost the COLA going out of 2009 bankruptcy. We all did. Okay. They got to keep that COLA roll-up. And what they did was instead of going to our checks, they rolled that over to fund the VEBA, the
right.
Voluntary Employee Benefits Association.
Right.
We fund that. Everybody who pays dues funds that. Anybody who works at one of the D3 or UAW member, for that matter, you pay into that. Well, for the big three. I can't say everybody. The D3... pay for that, whether you're a full-time temporary, a part-time temporary, a permanent temporary, a tier two, you all pay for that. So that's it is what it is. Oh, and
but it's not fully funded by the UAW.
No,
the companies put so much money into that VEBA. Each company,
right.
Each other D3.
Right.
Put so much into those VEBA trusts. Each
right.
VEBA trust is separate.
Correct.
One can't borrow from the other.
Correct. And the amount that they contribute isn't as much as what the membership is contributing. But you're right, because I remember in two years in a row, Gettelfinger forgave General Motors $17 billion, with a B, dollars that should have went to the VEBA.
Was that the time during the bankruptcy?
Right, I think right after. He forgave them $8 billion 1 year and $9 billion the next year. And as of the contract time, if I remember right, I think we have funded the General Motors part of it, was at $62.7 billion. With a B.
Now,
so.
Jimmy, Don, you all should have gotten your letters on the VEBA.
Yeah.
And how is your VEBA funding looking?
I'm in a deficit, but not as bad as I have been.
No. Not you personally. Your funding for your General Motors VEBA.
My plan's underfunded, but not as much as it has been.
I guess what you're saying is, did they give you how well funded the VEBA as a whole was?
Right.
No, I saw. Did you, Don?
No.
All I got was a chart showing like a year or 2 year course and where we were compared to where we were last year. So we're a little better off. Ours in the deficit of how much we are underfunded in our VEBA plan.
Wow. I don't know how we can be underfunded. Everybody who is working in the D3 right now. And I do mean everybody who is a UAW member in the D3 is paying into that. Whether you are a participant of that plan or not, that doesn't make it. That's not the discussion. The discussion at the point is, are you paying? Yes, you are. The temporaries, anybody hired after the end of September of 2007, you are considered an in progression or a temporary of in one tier or another. There's five tiers. So the bottom four tiers are paying into that.
Correct.
And you do not get, and you do not get the, you are not a participant of that plan. There is no set retirement for you folks. You don't get the VEBA. And that's sad. That's extremely sad. That's where we're at.
What's really sad about that, you know, Scott, in the end, if the projection's right, when it's all said and done, when that last person retires and passes away, there's going to be a lot of money in each one of them accounts that doesn't go back to the workers. It goes back to the company of that which owes.
Right. Yes. I don't know. This is unusual stuff we've got here, you know. He's got a solid question. You know, you need to ask that to somebody. Ask that to your CHOP chairman. Ask that to your regional director. Why am I paying into something that I'm not gonna be a participant of?
Yep.
You know, you've already have got me unequal in pay. I'm doing the same amount of work, and you've already got me there, and now you're taking more money out of me to help pay for some pensioners' health care. That's a good question. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, is the amount of money that a full-time temp or a part-time temp paying in of the COLA is the same as what the seniority worker is? Because I refuse to call us legacy workers. That's like swearing at me. I'm not a legacy worker. I'm a seniority worker. You know, I'm not a burden to these corporations. They're a burden to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, without the workers that we have, the companies don't have a backbone. We are the backbone of the corporation. We make those wheels turn. We make those vehicles come out the end of the line. Our blood, sweat, tears, hot, cold weather, doesn't matter. We come to work and we create unfound billions of dollars for the corporation. And yet we're the bad guy. I don't know. Get me started before Christmas time. I'll tell you who the Grinch is.
Well, I was just wondering if everybody had received their 2019 annual update report from the VEBA Trust. No, I received mine, and Mike said I received it on December the 9th.
The only report I got was the expense report for legal aid that I don't use, saying that the expense was $21 million, and like $2 million of it was office supplies.
Uh-huh.
So that's the only expense I got to
raise. Well, the one on the truck, you wouldn't receive the one on the retiring truck.
Right.
You know, so, and that's the visa. You wouldn't receive that. But, I got the one here on the legal service plan, and it's still sealed. I haven't even opened it yet. I decided, like I said earlier, I was reading the court case, and I decided to put it aside. Today was my daughter's birthday, and so I was in labor for a few days. So I kind of put stuff aside.
And that was damn hard labor, too, I'm telling you.
Right.
Sideways kind of hard.
Yeah.
Oh,
now that she's she's delivered because today is her birthday, I could go back into, okay, I got to read all this stuff. But, yeah. They tacked that legal service on to your gross wage, and so that's how you get taxed.
Yep.
On that. And I remember when I was working, and I kept saying, now, wait a minute. And I don't use this service? Oh, no, I need to use this service. And if I thought of breaking my toenail, I'd call them. I'd start using them, because if I'm going to pay for you, I got to claim you on my taxes, you going to work.
Right. Speaking of the legal fund there, now you do realize I've had this conversation probably about 2-3 years ago. We talked about this. They are going to send out, at the beginning of next year, they'll send out some income tax information on that. And you're going to have to claim expense part on the legal fund, right? Well, what they don't understand was they send one out now, and you're going to get one because you're a retiree. You're going to get one too. I checked
right.
with somebody. They said that's illegal. But nobody has pushed them on it because it's only like $1.76 the retiree has to claim. But they said they're going to send that out to you.
We shouldn't have to claim nothing.
I agree.
I especially say that people that don't use the service shouldn't have to pay.
Right.
I don't care if you're active, retired, or whatever.
Right.
And the service that we have now, they ought to keep that crap.
That's right.
It ain't worth having.
They'll
farm everything out. You get you can do this with any damn attorney. Get the first hour free, or your first consultation free.
Right.
Okay, and so that's the way this is, and then they give you a discounted rate.
Yep.
Well, okay. All right. No, I'll just go seek me a lawyer.
Right. So instead of a buck. A buck and a quarter an hour, I'm going to only charge you $100 an hour.
Right, or 75, half of that or whatever. And
yeah.
It's like, but you only going to give me half of what you ought to be doing, too.
Yep.
So I'm going to go ahead and I'll just pay my whole amount. The other part of it is, too, if I got a problem on my job, I can't use them.
That's right.
So I still got to go outside. So, you know, no, y'all can just keep that crap.
That's right. Everybody who used that, has used that, had to go to another lawyer to unscramble whatever in the hell they did. So I'll use them.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you
I've
know, what the company doctor can't survive out there in the street. That's why they're the company doctor. That's just like these people, the attorneys, especially the one here in Flint. God, if you ever go over there, I went over there for my will. You talk about nepotism. Look at the last names inside that. My God, there's two ex-directors. Let's see, grandkids. They got that name.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about all they're really good for. It's doing wills, maybe setting up a trust. No. And so they can pretty much keep them.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I'll just go ahead and pay. Normally the going rate for decent attorneys is what, $275 an hour. It doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna stay on your butt anyway. On how we spending my money, because they charge you for every little thing anyway.
phone calls and but that's okay. As long as I keep up with it. It's sad. Like I said, we had a better legal service. I can't think what year before we didn't have any. Remember, we ended up without having any legal service. And that went on for, what, 3 years or so? Did it go on like a full contract? We didn't have legal service?
I don't remember.
More than. Two contracts.
It was more than
legal service. Yeah, because we lost it in the 2009. And we didn't get it back until 2015.
Uh-huh. And then when it came back, it still wasn't back.
No, it took them another 18 months. Yeah, another 18 months to get it back up and going. And then when it came back, it wasn't even half as good as what it was before, and it wasn't that great to begin with.
Exactly.
I don't know. I can tell you how that worked out. Somebody went out on a fishing trip with somebody, and they decided we're going to do this. And there's my cracked crystal ball talking again, I'm telling you. Just like the infamous, was it Pearl Vision? We went to Pearl Vision.
SPS Vision.
Yeah, we went from having one vision provider on a Friday, and then on Monday, by the end of that week, we all had a new vision service. Jimmy, remember that?
I remember that.
Yokich was out on Lake St. Clair fishing.
Yeah, out there on that fishing adventure.
We don't have SPS. The retirees don't have SVS anymore.
Who the retirees get?
Famous Vision. I almost shit when I read that.
What's the name of them people?
I'm back on Davis Vision. It says right
Davis.
On my damn retirees.
Yeah, that's their Davis Vision.
I never even heard of that.
Davis Vision.
Trust me, you heard of Davis, D-A-V-I-S, Davis Vision.
Davis Vision.
I know Davis Vision, but I never heard of Davis Vision before.
Right.
The UAW.
All of a sudden,
Steve Yokich made that company up for his problem. That was a proven fact.
Well, I know Dick told me about it, yeah. He told me all about how that came into fruition.
I don't deal with them either. It's like,
Me either.
Yeah, you know, they have got us all messed around so bad.
Now they don't pay anything anyway to speak of.
Yeah.
I'd leave your eye doctor, I'm paying $500. I know, well, boy, I got great insurance. Now, if I had a crooked face, if I had an eyeball down by my chin and one on the top of my forehead, I could probably wear some of those frames they have.
You can go to Costco's with Davis Vision, I believe.
Happy.
I don't know where else though. But I love that eyeball down there.
Damn. Yeah, there's a place on the internet too. I think it's glasses.com or something that you can pick out a pair. They're pretty cheap, and you can have a camera and that you can try them on right there on your computer, and you can order it from there. So.
Do you think International has that insurance?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Hell no.
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 Because SBS is not that special. Trust me on that.
Yep.
It is not. It is not that special.
No.
I mean, I'll pay out of my pocket for an eye exam and get a good eye exam. And the discount, it's okay, but it's not great.
No,
not great at all.
Our International has some of the best health care and dental and optical, and then when they retire, they get to keep it. It's crazy. Can't negotiate that on our behalf, but for them, we'll pay for it. And we have about 3 minutes left in the show, so if anybody wants to put out any kind of holiday wishes, now would be the time to do it.
To all my brothers and sisters, safe, think smart, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and from my house to yours, I love you all.
That's
here,
nice.
Here.
That's nice. Well,
yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everyone. Stay safe, stay warm, enjoy your families.
You
don't
know.
Drink too much and drive.
Here,
Don't smoke too much and drive either. But have a good time, y'all.
Yeah, Carrie, Adrian, everybody.
But then the 21 starts drinking. Look out.
Well.
What's that, Don?
I don't know. I just. Merry Christmas to all of you guys. Happy New Year. Maybe January 3rd.
Well, your boy Chuck Platt, y'all have a good holiday.
Okay, you too.
You too.
Be sure you
too.
Hey.
We'll be back on January 3rd. We'll be back on January 3rd.
January 3rd.
As everybody said, enjoy your time off. Enjoy your time with friends, family, or yourself, if that's what you want to do. Try to remember the reason for the season. You know, here on the show, we've been doing this for a long time, and it never gets old to say to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. And if you can't make it in a week, then a Happy New Year also. At the same time, but it's something to think that we have this time, and that's one of the one things we can be grateful for that our union has negotiated for us was some additional time off at Christmas, because I think if the corporation had their way about it, we'd be working.
Yep. Guy, you're starting to make me sick. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Okay. Whoever was screaming, go ahead and finish. When it got quiet, I thought somebody was yelling.
No.
We'll okay.
Be yelling.
No.
I said you'll shoot your eye out.
Damn. okay. We might even do. I might even do something Christmas night. I'd be all alone. And, might do something. What the hell?
Uh-oh.
But everybody have a great Christmas and bring in the new year safely. If you get out,
right.
Be safe.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
like I said, don't drink and drive. Yep. And we'll go from there. Like I said, everybody have a good holiday and enjoy your time with however you choose to share and enjoy it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.